Chapter 2. The Green Dark. Fred wondered, as he ran, if, perhaps, he was dead. But, he thought, surely death would be quieter. The roar of the flames and his own blood vibrated through his hands and feet. The night was black. He tried to heave in breath to shout for help as he ran, but his throat was too dry and ashy to yell. He jabbed his finger into the back of his tongue to summon up some spit.
"Is anybody there? Help! Fire!" he shouted.
The fire called back in response. A tree behind him sent up a fountain of flames. There was a rumble of thunder. Nothing else replied. A burning branch cracked, spat red, and fell in a cascade of sparks. Fred leapt away, stumbling backwards into the dark and smacking his head against something hard. The branch landed exactly where he'd been standing seconds before. He swallowed the bile that rose in his throat and began to run again, faster and wilder. Something landed on his chin, and he ducked, smacking at his face. But it was only a raindrop. The rain came suddenly and hard. It turned the soot and sweat on his hands to something like tar. But it began to quench the fire. Fred slowed his run to a jog, and then to a stop. Gasping, choking, he looked back the way he had come. The little aeroplane was in the trees. It was smoking, sending up clouds of white and grey into the night sky. He stared around, dizzy and desperate, but he couldn't hear or see a single human. Only the fern-like plants growing around his ankles, and the trees reaching hundreds of feet up into the sky, and the panicked dive and shriek of birds. He shook his head hard. The hair on his arm was singed and smelt of eggs. He put his hands to his forehead. His eyebrow had charred and part of it came away in his fingers. He wiped his eyebrow on the sleeve of his shirt. Fred looked down at himself. One leg of his trousers was ripped all the way up to the pocket, but none of his bones felt broken. There was a vicious pain, though, in his back and neck, and it made his arms and legs feel far off and unusual. A voice suddenly came from the dark.
"Who is there? Get away from us!"
Fred spun round, his ears still buzzing. He grabbed a rock from the ground and threw it in the direction of the voice. He ducked behind the tree and crouched on his haunches, ready to jump or run. His heart sounded like a one-man band. He tried not to breathe. The voice said,
"God's sake, don't throw things!"
It was a girl's voice. Fred looked out from behind the tree. The light of the moon filtered deep green to the forest floor, casting long-fingered shadows against the trees, and he could only see two bushes, both of them moving.
"Who is it? Who is there?"
The voice came from the second bush. Fred squinted through the dark, feeling the remaining hair rise up on his arms.
"Please don't hurt us," said the bush.
The accent wasn't British. It was something softer, and the voice was definitely a child's, not an adult's.
"Was it you throwing poo?"
Fred looked down at the ground. He'd accidentally snatched up a piece of animal dung.
Oh, he said. "Yes."
He was becoming used to the dark and could see the shine of eyes peering out from the grey-green undergrowth.
Are you from the plane? Are you hurt?"
"Yes, we are hurt. We fell out of the sky,"
said one bush, as the other said,
"No, not badly." "You can come out," said Fred. "It's only me here."
The second bush parted. Fred's heart gave a great leap. Both the girl and her brother were covered in scratches and burns and ash, which had mixed with sweat and rain to make a kind of paste on their faces. But they were alive. He wasn't alone.
"You survived," he said. Obviously we did, said the first bush, or we wouldn't be talking to you, would we?
The blonde girl stepped out into the lashing rain. She stared from Fred to the other two, not smiling.
I'm Con, she said. It's short for Constantina, but if you call me that, I'll kill you.
Fred glanced at the other girl. She smiled nervously and shrugged.
Oh, all right, he said. If you say so, I'm Fred.
Emelela,
said the second girl. She held her brother on her hip.
And this is Max. Hi.
Fred tried to smile, but it made the cuts on his cheeks stretch and burn, so he stopped and made do with a grin that involved only the left half of his face. Max was at the breathless stage of crying, and he clung to his sister so tightly his fingers were pressing bruises on her skin. She was leaning over to one side to hold him up, shaking with the effort. They looked, Fred thought, like a two-headed creature.
Is your brother badly hurt?
He asked. Lila patted her brother desperately on the back.
He won't talk. He's just crying.
Con looked backwards towards the fire and shivered. The flames cast a light on her face. She was no longer blonde. Her hair was grey with soot and brown with blood, and she had a scratch on her shoulder that looked deep.
Are you all right?
He asked, wiping rain out of his eyes.
That cut looks pretty bad. No, I'm not all right,
Con spat.
We're lost in the Amazon jungle, and statistically speaking, it is very likely we're going to die. I know.
Fred didn't feel like he needed reminding.
I meant, so no.
Con's voice grew thin and high.
I think it would be safe to say that none of us are all right. Not at all. Not even slightly.
The bushes rustled. The rain hammered down on Fred's face.
We need to find shelter, he said. A big tree or a cave or something that would...
No!
Max gave a sudden scream, a yell that was wet with spit and fear. Fred stepped backwards, raising his hands.
Don't cry. I just thought...
Then his eyes followed Max's pointing finger. There, 3 inches away from Fred's shoe, was a snake. It was speckled brown and black, patchwork to match the jungle floor, and its head was as big as a fist. For 1 second, nobody breathed. The jungle waited. Then Max let out a second scream that dug deep into the night, and the four of them turned and ran. The ground was soaking, and as they ran, mud went flying up into each other's eyes, grazing their elbows against trees. Fred ran as if his body was not his own, faster than he'd ever run, his palms stretched out in front of him. Tripped over a root and did a full somersault, coming up spitting earth. He ran on. The rain blinded him, and shadows flashed past him in the darkness. There was a yell behind him.
Please, Max, said Lila.
Ed turned back, skidding in the mud.
He won't run,
Lila bent over her brother.
And I can't carry him.
The little boy lay on his back, weeping up at the sky, his whole body shaking in the rain.
Come on!
Fred heaved Max over his shoulder. The boy was far heavier than he'd expected, and he screamed as Fred lifted him. But Fred grabbed both of Max's knees and started running, his whole body screaming with pain. He could hear Lila, her feet thumping close behind them. The stitch in Fred's side was almost unbearable when he tore out of the trees and into a clearing. He stopped, and Max bumped his head against Fred's spine and yelled. Angrily, he began trying to bite one of Fred's shoulders.
Please don't,
said Fred, but he was barely paying attention to the boy on his back. He stared, stunned, staring ahead of him. They were standing at the edge of a wide circle of trees, open to the sky and lit by a fat moon. There was a carpet of green moss and grass, and the stars above them were clustered so thick that the silver outnumbered the night. Fred lowered Max to the ground and stood bent over, his hands on his thighs, panting.
The snake sees us, said Max.
No, gasped Con.
How do you know?
Wailed Max. Lila dropped to her knees, clutching at the side.
Snakes don't, Maxie. We both know that. I just
panicked, said Con. Her voice was bitter. That's what happened. See, look, no snakes. We were stupid. Now we're even more lost. The ground in the clearing sloped slightly towards a large puddle of water. Fred crossed over to it, his muscles aching, and sniffed. It smelt of rotting things, but he was so thirsty. He took a tiny sip and immediately spat it out.
Ugh, no good, he said. It tastes like an old person's feet.
But I'm thirsty, said Max.
Fred looked around the clearing, hoping to find water before Max started crying again.
If you wring out your hair, he said, there'll be water in it.
He tugged his dark fringe down over his forehead and twisted it. A few drops fell on his tongue.
It's better than nothing.
Max chewed on his hair for a second, then scrunched his eyes closed.
I'm scared, he said.
It was said as a simple matter of fact. Somehow, it was worse than the tears, Fred thought.
I know, Lila said softly. We all are, Maxie.
She crossed to her brother and pulled him close to her. His small bony fingers closed over a burn on her wrist, but she didn't push him away. She began to whisper in his ear. Something soft, almost a song, a lullaby. They were both shaking slightly. Fred swallowed.
All this will look less bad in the morning, he said.
Will it? Said Con.
There was a bite to the question.
Will it really?
Well, it can't look much worse, he said. Once it's light, we'll be able to work out a way to get home.
Con looked hard at him. There was a challenge in the look, and Fred stared unblinking back at her.
What now, then? She said.
Mama and Papa said, began Lila.
The mention of her parents made her face crease and crumple, but she swallowed it and went on.
They always said you need to sleep before you think. They say when you're exhausted, you do stupid things, and they are scientists. So, we should sleep.
Fred found his whole body aching.
Good. Fine. Let's sleep.
He lay down on his side in the wet grass. His clothes were soaked, but the air was warm. He closed his eyes. Perhaps he would wake up in his bed at school, he thought, next to the snoring of his roommates. An ant crawled across his cheek.
But aren't we supposed to stay awake in case we die of concussion? Said Con. I think if we'd got concussion, we'd be dizzy, said Lila.
Fred, already half asleep, tried to figure out if he was feeling dizzy. The world began to spin away from him.
Well, if we all die in the night, I'm blaming both of you, said Con.
It was on that cheery note that Fred felt himself dropping down, down away from the jungle and the thick night air and into sleep.